Welcome to the Childcare Business Coach Podcast with Evelyn Knight, where mindset mechanics come together for success. Evelyn Knight is the leader of the ECE revolution and is on a mission to touch 1 million children's lives through the elevation of the ECE community.
Hello and welcome to the Childcare Business Coach Podcast. Thank you so much once again for taking your time to visit with us and to hear what we have to say today. I have a very, very important guest for those of us in early childhood education. Whether you're center-based or not, this is something the nation needs to hear. Even if you're not in childcare, this is important because our nation's economy needs childcare. We need to be able to drop children off and parents need to be able to work. And what we're facing right now in early childhood education and childcare specific can literally cripple the economy. So Samantha Phillips is with me here today, and we are going to talk about what's going on with the insurance industry, just another hurdle that we're facing in early childhood. So Samantha, go ahead and introduce yourself for my audience.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Samantha Phillips. I am an industry expert in the insurance space. I have been exclusively working with childcare owner operators since around 2011. So when I started my insurance career, I began at an agency that exclusively worked with owners and just really found my passion there in providing education and taking more of a coach approach and value added versus just here, this is what you need, sign it and you're insured. I have a very strong belief that as entrepreneurs, you can make the best decisions when you understand what coverages mm-hmm. you need and why, how they help protect you. And so that's kind of been the approach that I've taken, is just offering up education around the topic of insurance, how certain coverages protect against different types of claim scenarios. A lot of out of the box type approaches that I am not your typical insurance agent. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. And you actually can work nationwide. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the reason I just bring that up, because I know insurance is a very regional state to state, but you actually can help childcare owners all over the country, which is very important because I know we're facing a crisis right now. I told you my story before we recorded that I personally have been experiencing this myself, where there's basically insurance companies all over the country are dropping us. We are just being dropped all over the place and not able to get coverage. And that's where I know we've met in person and we kind of crossed paths here and there. But what really got my attention and the reason I asked you to be on here with me is because you're really advocating for us right now and for this very issue, because it's actually getting scary. And for those of you in leadership who don't know what's happening, pay attention, because this is a big problem coming down our way. It's already started and we're watching that snowball get bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you could explain what it is that we're facing and the implications for childcare centers, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So I wish I could explain exactly why it's happening, but because I work nationally and I work with providers all over the place, I do a lot of speaking and networking at different national conferences. So in that, I get to connect and speak with a lot of people from different areas. And what I see and hear a lot of right now is most business owners work with a local agent, either somebody in their neighborhood, down the street, a cousin's friends, parents, something or another, somebody that they're locally connected with, which is great. You know, we want to support our small businesses. But the problem with working with a regional agent is they are less likely, one, because they're not industry specific, and two, most agents only work in a particular state or maybe a group of states in a certain region of the U.S. So they don't see the problem on a grand scale. They even themselves may think, oh, well, this is just what it is right now for Philadelphia mm-hmm. or New York or wherever they may be. And I started noticing some red flags last year when I had a client that it was almost impossible for me to find them insurance. And that was very unusual. There's always been a small pool of insurance companies, around 10 companies, to be precise, that will insure early education owners. And I could not find anybody. I think I got 20 declinations. 10 typical companies. And then I searched every surplus lines market, which is like your backup. Surplus typically insures the stuff nobody else wants to. And I could not find this provider insurance anywhere. And the option that I was finally able to find for them tripled their insurance premium.
Wow.
And even at renewal this year, when they came up again, same thing, declinations from everybody. And to add, to make matters worse and rub salt in an open wound, not only did they get an offer from the same company, but they also said, you know, we'll renew you, but for $20,000 more a year.
Yeah.
So almost impossible to find them coverage, and then a $20,000 increase. And so that one situation really opened my eyes and made me start paying attention more to, okay, let's keep a pulse on things. Is this going to be a new trend, or is this just an isolated incident? They did have a claim, or they had an accusation. It ended up settling, like we talked about before we started recording. It's what happens with insurance companies. Yeah. But most owners I'm seeing think that this is just isolated to them. They think it's either something to do with the age of their building or the number of students they have enrolled or the area that they're in. But it's not. This is a national issue right now. There are some areas that are having an even harder time finding coverage, like Texas, Florida, where insurance just in general is more difficult due to our coastal and wind and hail exposure. But for child care centers, this is not exclusive to any particular region. It's not exclusive to certain sizes over others, franchises, non-franchise. This is across the board for and affects all child care centers.
Yeah. And I think that is what's really scary. I've gone through it myself here in Nevada, where my original insurance carrier, and I told you altogether, I think I was with them, I think at that point, 15 years. And they just pulled out of the childcare industry. And so then I went to a different one, and the next year that one pulled out of the industry. And so now I'm on my third company. And to be honest, when it was time to renew this year, I was really nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to pull out too now?
PTSD now.
Yeah, because it was very hard. Like you said, we sent several companies applications, and one after another just turned us down, that we are no longer providing for child care centers. We're not working with that industry anymore. So that is what those of you out there need to hear, that insurance companies are starting to refuse to insure child care centers. And I know what many people think. If you're not an owner or involved in a child care center, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, the liability for them is so great because of what happens. I can tell you, as an owner for several years, we've never had a claim that was actually our fault. Nothing that we were actually at fault for. There were things that have happened, like accidents that have happened that we have had claims for, but nothing that was like negligent, right, on our end. And I know before, I won't go into details, but before we start recording, I was telling Samantha about something I just recently went through, where it was so black and white that we did nothing wrong. So black and white. I had documented evidence I submitted, and I was literally told by the adjuster, it's cheaper for us just to pay to make this go away mm-hmm. than it is for us to fight it. So we're just going to pay the claim. And then I wonder, okay, well, if you're just paying every claim, whether it's has substance or not, because it's cheaper to go away, then of course then our industry looks like it's not doing well, because you're basically creating this perfect storm for lawyers to just jump on this bandwagon and basically start fishing for clients to sue us.
Yep. So there's a couple of things to unpack there. You know, we've been experiencing this hiring shortage for a while now, and it's definitely affected childcare, but childcare is not the only industry that's experiencing that. I've always been an agent that works very closely with my underwriting team. And so I speak regularly with the underwriters that I work with. And some of the things that I'm hearing is that they are struggling to get the right people in the right seats also. Yeah. And so part of that, and of course, this is just speculation, but when you think about the amount of claims that probably come in, especially in catastrophic losses too, the amount of claims that one adjuster handles or that are pushed across their desk, even on a daily basis, managing that workload, I see both ways. I hate the adverse losses that it paints on childcare programs. And I don't think it's just specific to childcare, but right. That's the issue. It's a very risky business, and that's why it's such a we're having such a hard time finding insurance companies that are willing to insure it. But that's not all of ECE's fault. A lot of that stems from the insurance company's willingness and promptness and just writing a check to make it shut up and go away. And so it paints a picture, like you said, that providers are more risky or not doing the things that they're supposed to do to keep this from happening. You can't keep somebody from just waking up one morning and say, you know what, I think I want to collect a quick $5,000. I have an attorney friend, and according to ProCare, child care center changed my child's diaper 5 minutes late, or, you know, whatever the case may be. That it's an instant situation where they can contact somebody, hit you with a lawsuit, and they're going to collect something, probably $5,000, just to, because they don't have the willpower, and they don't have the bandwidth to be able to fight that.
Yeah. Right. And that's part of what's causing problems for us is basically, I don't know. It seems sometimes when I went through the situation, it felt to me like, do you not understand, by you paying this claim, you're basically saying that we're guilty. And there's just that lack of, well, yeah, but oh, well, it's cheaper for us. But then it does open the door. We're a very vulnerable industry. We take care of children. So an industry like ours makes us very, very vulnerable, similar to the medical industry, where there's just industries that are more vulnerable, but the outrageous costs are part of the reason that we end up paying more, right? It's so hard for us right now, because not like you were talking about the $20,000 increase from 1 year to the next for your client. Those are the type of things we're facing. And then it's that trickle down, right? Where now, okay, how are we going to do this? We have to have insurance in order to stay afloat. We already can't afford competitive wages. So what do we do now? We have to increase tuition. But then there's that other problem where parents can't afford increased tuition. So again, just one more piece of that puzzle that's putting us in the private sector, making us those hamsters on wheels. How are we going to overcome this? What are we going to do? So I think when it comes to insurance, there's definitely some things that need to be done. I think it does need to actually probably be escalated to the federal, state, and federal levels for some legislation to happen in order for us to prevent and something to really help us in this situation.
Yeah. And anything that is going to come down from a federal level, especially when it comes to insurance, is going to take time. And time is something that providers do not have right now. I spoke with Child Care Aware of America last week, just making them aware because they hadn't heard this issue either. And I realized that this is a situation beyond me, and about beyond the few agents that I've been speaking with that also, are niche agents that specialize in childcare. And their recommendation, at least for first action, is to try and collect, well, how many people is this affecting? Is this as grand of an issue as we think it is? So they were going to start collecting information, stories, names, data from the smaller resource offices that they're connected to find out how many complaints have they received? What are they hearing? Because they're the boots on the ground that are actually working face to face with these providers. How many people are actually facing this issue? What were their stories, in an effort to start and collect data? But there are things that providers can do now. I've been coaching a lot on the subject lately. Insurance companies are not looking, they don't need your business. And I know we all want to have the mindset, well, if you don't want my business, then I don't want to work with you either. Like, I'll take my business to somebody that will appreciate me as a customer. Yes. Insurance companies don't have that mindset. And unfortunately, we need them more than they need us.
Yes.
So right now they are looking for the cream of the crop. They are paying attention to licensing inspections. They're reviewing those reports and the complaints and the notes on the investigation reports to determine what happened. Are you risky? Have these repeat offenses been corrected, especially repeat offenses when it comes to things like background checks? Insurance companies, you have to look at it through their lens. When they see repeat offenses for things like background checks, they're thinking worst case scenario, that you just hired somebody fresh out of prison that, you know, has some type of, you know, was in there for some reason that they don't need to be working with children. They're not exactly the best role model. Like, that's worst case scenario. When they read things like access to hazardous chemicals or, what's another big one? Wires within reach of children.
Yeah.
I've seen several either chemical burns, or, crock pots, kids getting a hold of crock pots and dumping that hot water and it causing burns. So they're now looking at this very objectively. They're looking at your loss history, which paints a negative picture. If a situation like what you and I had talked about, if you just happen to be the victim of a parent accusation that was not legit, you had all the documentation to prove otherwise. And so in situations like that, you've got to confront those loss history. You've got to confront the licensing violations and control the narrative. You can't just sit on that and wait for your agent. Not all agents are created equal, and they also don't recognize the severity of the situation right now and how hard it is for you to find insurance. So you've got to be proactive as providers and take control of that narrative. If you know you had a claim, what happened? What have you done since then to keep it from happening again? If it was a liability type claim, how have you retrained staff? Did you have to terminate the staff members involved? Did you change your written policies and procedures to make sure that that never happens again? They're looking for providers that are taking a proactive approach to risk mitigation. They do not want to insure just any provider. They want to insure the ones that are going to partner with them to try and keep losses from happening.
They're
looking for a mutual partner, not just somebody that is going to be the one that they're writing checks for.
Oh, that is really interesting. So is there any way to combat that on your record? I don't, I guess I didn't even really think of having an insurance record. Is there a way to publish those actions on, for the general public, or is that just be ready and have that in your back pocket?
So what I recommend is, there's two things. When it comes to the licensing violations, anything that could, any citations that could potentially pose harm to children. So your background checks, access to hazardous chemicals, broken or protruding parts on playground equipment, missing fence panels or panels where, you know, the gap is, 6 inches or water. I can't remember what the distance is. anything that could potentially lead to harm to a child or repeat offenses. Repeat offenses are a big one. If you have gotten a violation for something two times or more, it shows that either you don't care or it's just not a priority to you. And especially if it's one of those that could potentially lead to harm to a child, they're taking those repeat offenses very seriously. If you can't even correct it from one inspection to another, that's an issue.
Yeah.
So making sure to correct violations or address citations. If they're published, if they're founded, it is what it is. So what I recommend doing is be prepared to have a write-up with what actions you took based on that, based on that complaint or that citation, whatever it was, confront it. You want to control the narrative. What we don't want to happen is the insurance company underwriter going to the state website, looking on their own and thinking, oh, this is a hot mess. We don't want to insure this, and just shutting it down before they've even had a chance to review the 50 plus pages of application paperwork we've put together. So when you're looking and approaching agents for quotes, send that in with the application.
The other
tool that I'd recommend is creating a narrative. And this is something that I actually created a template for. I went to an insurance event back in September, and one of the company representatives that was speaking there said they get so many submissions across their desk, they're not looking at any of them that do not have a narrative with it. And a narrative, think of it like a cover page or the most compelling real estate listing that you've ever seen. You know, your listing agent will use, they will word and choose their words very carefully to make that listing come to life. They're going to make you see, hear, smell, and want to visit that listing based on what they put. The pictures are in the most beautiful lighting. And you want to see that before you've seen it in person. You want to go visit it. Maybe you're already thinking about, you know what, that's the house for me, just based on the words and the photos.
Yeah.
So a narrative is your opportunity to get insurance companies intrigued in your business, getting them beautiful pictures of your center with everything neat and tidy. Don't send them hot mess looking.
Yes.
Don't do it. Best of the best. But that's your opportunity to showcase and highlight the things that the applications don't collect.
Right.
There are so many, beyond state regulations, there are so many things that I see providers do on a day-to-day basis to help make them less risky. But the insurance companies have no way of knowing that because they only get what's captured in the application.
Right.
So the narrative template that I've created provide some guiding questions to help get your brain thinking from a risk management standpoint. What am I doing that makes me less risky? What are things that I've implemented? One place childcare. I love One Place, especially from an insurance standpoint, because they provide checklists and documented reports. That if the insurance company wanted to see, like, we're not only trying to maintain compliance, but we're trying to be a best practices facility, and they have the documentation to back that up. So things like that, no child left behind alarms, if those are installed in the vehicles, if you have pinch guards installed on the doors, not all of the insurance applications ask about things like that. So there's a lot of different areas and things that you can talk about unique to each program and how they operate, how long you've been in the industry, how long your management team has been with you. The average tenure of your employees is a big one right now because employee turnover is so high. So the two things that I would recommend would be putting together the narrative, the template that I've created, and I can send you the link if you want to.
It's a free downloadable resource
and it's plug and play. So you can just drop your pictures and type right into it. So putting together a narrative and sending that to your agent, whether you're up for renewal or shopping for insurance for the first time, that is going to really help paint your program in the best light and showcase things that makes insurance companies want to insure you. And then the second thing would be controlling the narrative regarding licensing citations.
Okay.
Yes, they happened. What are they? What have you done since then? How have you retrained staff? Did you hire a licensing consultant to help you, you know, manage those more effectively? Things of that nature.
Okay.
Those are two really great resources to help providers right now.
That's wonderful. I would not have thought about making almost like a report on what you are doing, which is a great, I mean, for me as an owner, I'm always thinking in terms of CYA, you know, and I actually teach a training that I titled CYA, it's a cover your asset. And it's, yes, it's cover your asset. And it's really just how do we protect ourselves from any kind of lawsuits, insurance claims, whether it's workers' comp, your liability. There's so many things as an owner you have to be mindful of. And even for yourself, whether you're not an owner, you still have to be protecting yourself in this society right now because there are so many billboards. Like you were saying before we recorded, right? You drive down the highway and there's billboards on, we got this person $100,000. Call it, you know, just lawyers hunting for these lawsuits. So, oh my goodness, that was packed with so much amazing information. Samantha, thank you so much. I'm sure. And I hope for those of you listening, all of you download Samantha's great resource that she is providing us with. I will put that in the comments and the description so you guys can just find how to get a hold of Samantha, how to download her resource. And then Samantha, will you let my audience know how can they get a hold of you if they would like to get a hold of you after this?
So either by phone or email, my phone number is 469-765-3384. And then my email address is samantha.phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S, @comployhr.com.
Sorry about that. I'm putting the wrong one on there. So I will actually put those in the show notes as well. And so I don't expect anyone to remember the phone number. I know I can't personally. So we will put that in the notes so you guys can find that along with the email address. So whether you're listening to the podcast, watching us on YouTube, whichever, you will have all the information that you need. Thank you so much for advocating for us, for being the voice that we need right now. I know as an owner myself, I really, really appreciate you. I think you're 100% right. I don't hear nearly enough talk about this, and I don't think people realize that this is not just an isolated incident. It is becoming an epidemic. So thank you for leading the charge on this. I do appreciate you for that. I really appreciate it. And thank you for bringing this to my audience. And hopefully you guys share this episode, share with your state legislature, share with anybody who has influence, your subsidy programs, anyone, other owners, because we need to hear this right now. We need to know that this is a problem. You may not have experienced it yet, but you probably will. Because every day, yeah, it's coming. And more insurance companies are dropping us. So even if you're not in childcare, this is going to affect you eventually because workplaces, even if you don't have your children in childcare, there's a resource that you use that the parents have to, the employees at those resources are dropping their children off at childcare. Eventually, this is going to trickle down to all of us. So very important that all of us know. Do you have any final words for us?
Start early. The increases that I'm seeing are anywhere from 30 to 50% for renewals. Wow. So it's a pretty steep increase, even if you've never had any claims. So I would give yourself at least 4 months
Wow.
in advance of your expiration date. Okay. So if you're expiring in April, you should probably start right now.
And I think that's a very important point. Very important. I see way too many leaders in EC. You guys scramble way too much. No more scrambling.
There's not time for scrambling with this. It's going to take every bit of maybe 60 days alone just shopping the different insurance companies. Do not wait or you're going to get stuck without insurance.
Yeah. And I actually just did a course on annual planning for those of you who took the annual planning course, or if you haven't yet, make sure you put that in your annual calendar. The reason that we forget and we drop the ball on things like that is because it's not in your calendar. You don't plan for it. So 4 months before you know your expiration date, set a date in your calendar. Set a reminder right now.
A lot of people don't know their expiration date, but look for your certificate of liability, that one-page document that you have to send to licensing every year at the bank. Find that document and it'll tell you what your expiration date is so that you can then put it on your calendar.
Yeah, put it on your calendar, get working on that. Some of you need to work on it now. Very important, because when it's too late, when we get the bills and now we're in panic mode thinking, what are we going to do? So being proactive rather than reactive is always the way to go. Thank you so much for that. That was incredibly helpful.
You're welcome.
And again, everybody, I appreciate you being here and listening and watching. Again, hit like and subscribe, leave me a review, all of those things to show me your appreciation for the time and information I bring to you. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Thank you for joining Evelyn today. For more information, please visit childcarebusinessprofessionals.com.